You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Somerset County, Maryland Sheriff Ronnie Howard. Sheriff, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Well, thank you, Sheriff. I appreciate you taking the time for this. Now, Sheriff, I saw something online just recently about a vicious attack there in your county where two young kids, young babies, 4 and 8, and a mom, 25-year-old, were viciously attacked by some savage with a hammer. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, could you give them a little bit of background about who you are?
Yes, sir. I'm a lifelong resident of Somerset County here in Maryland. I graduated high school and I entered the ranks of the Maryland State Police in 1982, and I retired from there in 2008. And I spent my majority of the career working road patrol, and I finished my career as a criminal investigator assigned to the Somerset County Barracks. I left the state police and I joined the ranks of the sheriff's office as a road deputy, and I'd always had aspirations of running for sheriff someday. Anyhow, I went to then-Sheriff Robert Jones, and I said, if the chief deputy ever retires, would you consider me? And he said, yes. So the chief deputy at that time, he retired in 2010. Sheriff Jones come to me and offered me the position. I took it as chief deputy, and I served in that position until he retired in 2014. And then I ran for sheriff and was successful, and I've just finished my second year as sheriff. I have been married to my wife, Lainey, of 29 years. We have two children, Alexis and Cole. Both of them are college kids. I belong to the organization Sons of the American Revolution. And my brother Freddie is the family genealogy. And he apprised me that when the county was founded in 1666, the very first sheriff was my 8th grandfather. To me, I think that's really awesome.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Our family history runs very, very deep in the county.
Wow, that is amazing. It would be nice to think that our ancestors are aware of what's happening now. Somehow, you know, if people believe in this kind of stuff, and if they could actually see that you are there doing what they did all that time ago. You know, that's incredible when you think about it.
Yes.
Wow.
It is. Like I said, it's really awesome.
So you've had kind of like a storybook life, really, with your career, serving all that time and going up and graciously asking the former sheriff if he might support you. And he was there for a while, wasn't he?
He was. He was the longest serving sheriff in Maryland at that time. He served 28 years.
And of course, he had to get reelected each term. And how long is a term, Sheriff?
4 years.
Okay, and you were going to say something. You were going to say he.
Sheriff Jones told me that he had ran one term too many. He had come to me in his last term, and we were talking one day, and he said, you know, I should have left. That time it was 3 or 4 years. He said, I should have left then. I'm getting too old. I should have let you run. And he had lost a lot of desire to serve. And before he was even sheriff, he had served as a deputy, also working the road.
Mm-hmm. And the election was in November 2014?
2014, yes, sir.
Right, okay. So just about 2 years ago. And how are the numbers?
Well, I won by 888 votes.
Wow. And
Wow, 888. And the guy I'd run against was one of my very good friends from the state police. He happened to be my supervisor in the state police.
I hope you're still friends.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, good.
It was hard during the election. It was. I was out one night and someone come up and says, Ronnie, I'm not sure I can vote for you. I said, why is that? They said, you've been married 3 times. I said, no, I haven't. I've been married once. And they said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. Then I heard I was beating my child and hiding him in the house. And just the rumors, it was so frustrating. It was very frustrating. And I know my opponent, Ricky, would never say that. So whoever was starting those rumors, I could care less about them.
Politics is a dirty sport, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
You're in Somerset County. We spoke about this before the interview briefly, and you heard the interview that I interviewed Sheriff Mike Lewis, of course.
Yes.
He's in a neighboring county.
Yes, he is.
Why don't you tell listeners a little bit about the makeup of Somerset County, the lay of the land, where it is in relation to the rest of Maryland, and also maybe even the demographics?
Yeah, Somerset County is on what is known as the Delmarva Peninsula. We are the southernmost county in the state of Maryland. It is a predominantly commercial fishery and agriculture-based community. We are below Wicomico, and Worcester County is east of us, which Worcester houses the popular resort Ocean City. Our county is 610 square miles, and part of our jurisdiction is also Smith Island, which is 8 miles into the Chesapeake Bay. And for us to go there to patrol, we have to either have the Coast Guard take us, Maryland State Police Aviation Section, or the Maryland Natural Resources Police. And we're in the process of trying to get a grant to get a boat so we can go there on our own instead of having to get someone else to take us. The county is predominantly Democrat. I would say right now it's probably maybe 54, 55% Democrat. And I've seen the numbers slowly changing as more retirees move in who are Republicans. And I've told a lot of my friends in the Democrat Party. At one time I said within 10 years it'll be majority Republican. I think it's going to be quicker than that. A lot of people are just so frustrated with Washington. And like I said, a lot of them Democrats in the county who I'm friends with have switched to Republicans. They're just so disgusted, in their words, with the Democrat Party.
Well, there's a lot to be disgusted about.
And
with both parties, the way that the Republicans just folded with legislation that you would have thought that they wouldn't have. What about the demographics there, Sheriff?
I would say demographics in the county, it's probably 54% white, probably 42% African-American, and we have a small Hispanic population that it's slowly growing. It's about 2 to 3%. Most of the Hispanics work in the agriculture and the commercial fisheries business, working in the packing houses.
Okay. Nationwide, I think that the percentage of blacks are like something like 12 or 13%. So that's significantly higher.
It is. A lot of the African-Americans that live here in the county, they're lifelong residents. I have three older brothers, and I know a lot of the ones through my brothers, and a lot of them know my parents, or they knew my grandfather, who was a lifelong farmer. To me, we don't have the problems in Somerset that other parts of the country may have. I guess you can say the old saying is my mom would say, we're in the same boat together, and we're just not experiencing those problems.
Yeah, any racial strife, you mean?
Yeah, none of that at all. None of it.
Mm-hmm.
After the officers in Dallas were executed.
Yeah.
I had the president of the NAACP come to me, and he says, Sheriff, he says, I want to apologize for what happened. He says, that was so horrific, and he says, so uncalled for. And I have a very good working relationship with him, and I've always told him, I said, if you have any concerns or questions, there's no need to go to the media. You can call me. And they've done that. So we've had a really close relationship.
That's good, and it's also good to hear that you don't have that strife there
yeah.
that exists in, like, Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like two different planets.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. The lifestyle on the Western Shore is nowhere near what it is like on the Eastern Shore. Like I said, the majority of the shore is agriculture-based, and even though it's predominant Democrat, they vote majority Republican. They're very conservative. Very.
This article was particularly disturbing.
Yes.
What type of an animal takes a hammer to the mother of his children and to his children, 4 years old and 8 years old, while they're in bed? Can you tell the listeners as much as you can about this case?
Yeah, Prince Zane Police Department, the local jurisdiction, they're the ones investigating it. They received a call of a medical emergency along with the fire company, so they go to the apartment and they find the victims. Horrific injuries. And they are still in the hospital, and Chief Balsman is one to apprise me from Prince Zane Police that the attacker had used a hammer to repeatedly strike the mother and the two children in their beds. The children were still asleep while they were being attacked. Now, the mother, she fought briefly before she was overcome by it. And all of them are in very critical condition in shock trauma in Baltimore and Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. We get quite a few peace orders and protective orders here at the Sheriff's Office where we serve the court. And I've always told this to other people. I said, a peace order and a protective is a piece of paper. That is not going to protect somebody. That's why I'm such a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment.
If this lady was armed and she had the possibility of defending herself, it might not have turned out the way that it did. Do they know, did this animal attack the children first? Have they come to that conclusion yet in the investigation?
Dave, I'm not sure who was attacked first. They're still in the early stages of the investigation, and I haven't spoken to Chief Balsman within the last day.
I hope that they come out of this, these innocent people here, and I hope this, it's not even a human, whatever this thing is, I hope he gets what's coming to him. I hope justice is served. What's the general view of the residents there in your county? You said you're a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. How about them? Is that something that they support?
Absolutely. That is one of the, I guess you can say, the hotbed issues of a lot of residents here in the county. They'll come up and they'll say, Sheriff, if President Obama ever institutes martial law, will you obey it? No, I won't. They said, will you support any action or efforts to confiscate our guns? I'm like, absolutely not. Our founding fathers put the Second Amendment in there for a reason. And that is to protect us from invaders and also from our own government if it ever come to that. Yeah. Even Secretary Clinton expressed her, I know she denied it, the effort or the initiative that Australia took to confiscate firearms. I can't support that. I can't. A lot of people in this county, like I said, it's a rural county. A lot of people with firearms for protection. And a vast majority of the people in this county love to duck hunt and deer hunt. And I agree with Sheriff Lewis. It would be a catastrophe if the federal government ever come in here and tried to confiscate firearms. It would. The county residents wouldn't go for it. They wouldn't.
They would fight back.
I'm sure they would resist.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, I mean, that is what the Second Amendment is for.
The tyranny that we can face today is no different than the tyranny our forefathers faced when they were fighting the revolution. No different.
Absolutely. Do you see any signs that would make you concerned that the federal government might be thinking along these lines?
I haven't seen any, and I supported President Trump. I did. I voted for him. With him being in there, I don't see any efforts to take firearms from people. I don't. My feeling is there's enough firearm laws on the books. Enforce the laws that are on the books now. There's no need to make more. Your law-abiding citizens are not going to go out here and commit gun violence.
Right.
Your thugs are the ones that's going to break into houses or stores and take firearms. They're the ones that need to be prosecuted, not hold law-abiding citizens to task.
It's common sense when the media never pays attention to the fact that the tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of legal gun owners who commit crimes, they never talk about that. How big of a problem do you think the elite media is today?
The elite media, I have a lot of big issues with. I do. During the presidential campaign, I mean, they were trying to crucify President-elect Trump with every little thing he would say or do. The issue I had with Secretary Clinton was one of the big issues was her email server. She sets it up in a toilet. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that that could easily be hacked by whether it be the Chinese or the Russians or whomever. And she was given, I feel, a pass on that. They convicted General Petraeus, in my feelings, for something that was just not as serious as Secretary Clinton's.
Yeah, and of course, I was very relieved to see this election turn out the way it did. And I know a lot of people that I talked to were very relieved because they were nervous that not just because the elite media was saying that Clinton had like a 95% chance of winning. And you could actually believe them if you're just listening to what they're saying and you don't have anything else to base it on. But how did you feel after you found out that Trump won?
I was very happy. My wife and I stayed up to about 1 o'clock, and they had not yet called Pennsylvania or Michigan. And I said, honey, I'm going to bed. And I was so happy to hear that he won. I was.
Were you relieved?
I was. Very relieved. Yeah. I mean, I was concerned about Secretary Clinton getting in the office. I was concerned that if she got in, she would make an attempt to go after the Second Amendment. That was one of my main concerns. And another reason I was relieved is who knows she would pick for the Supreme Court. That's a big issue with
yeah.
me. And also for her stance on abortion. I do not, cannot, nor will ever support abortion. When she says a child that is still in the womb has no constitutional rights, I got a problem with that.
Right.
She says we must protect children and outlaw firearms. Okay,
yeah.
What about the children in the womb? Don't they have rights? I got problems with that.
Yeah, and I guess we could ask her the question, well, after this horrific attack there at Princess Anne, I guess we're going to have to outlaw hammers now.
That's true. I mean, again, it's the person. It's not the object they have.
Right. But there are forces behind these people, as we've all heard about George Soros and other people who are putting up money and winding them up and say, go do this and go do that. It's unfortunate that the system is designed to allow as much money as it is to corrupt it.
It is.
Do you think President-elect Trump is going to show support for cops as opposed to support for the hoodlums?
Oh, absolutely. That is one thing I'm very encouraged about, the support that he has promised to give us. And I know that I was reading, I forget which law enforcement officer not too long ago was killed, and he called the family. And to me, that says a lot right there when you take time out to call the family of the law enforcement officer.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people were disgusted how Obama failed to do that many times.
Yes.
But he would call up a homosexual sports figure.
Yep.
Disgusting. We have a law and order president now.
Yes, we do. And I am so glad of that.
Do you think that there should be a review of the shoot-to-kill policy that is currently in place with police?
I know we're currently revising our policies, and I know, and I'm supporting my deputies. They say, I'm going home at the end of the evening. I said, that's all we need to hear. Go home. I think what's in place right now is fine. it's your bad guys out here. I mean, they keep telling the police officers, you got to change, you got to change. But you never hear them telling the bad guys, you got to change. The police officers being blamed for everything.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Besides the Second Amendment that your constituents are concerned, are there any other issues that they bring to your attention as the sheriff, as the only elected law enforcement officer in the county?
Yeah, the two issues that I hear mostly are their concern for the Second Amendment and also the drug use in the county, which the hot drug right now, crack, is making a resurgence. A lot of people, and I've spoken to Sheriff Lewis about this, are like Narcan's available, and a lot of people are not getting the euphoria from the heroin, so they're now having to go back to crack, and crack is cheaper than heroin in the county.
How much do they cost? Is it something that anybody could afford?
It is. The unemployment in the county is very, very high, so it's going to be really cheap for them to buy. It is. Our biggest employer in the county is the Eastern Correctional Institution for the Department of Corrections. And then the second biggest employer is a local food distribution company. And then you have your commercial fisheries. You hear a lot of frustration towards Department of Natural Resources from the watermen. And then you hear same complaints from the farmers directed at the state of Maryland for regulations that's being imposed on them. It's a lot of frustration in the county and the high unemployment.
So that leads to the drug use?
Yes.
It doesn't seem like that's going to go away?
No, sadly, it doesn't.
So your office is regularly involved in these matters, the drug matters?
It is. We have two deputies that are assigned to the local narcotics task force. There are two troopers and two deputies assigned to it. It's four for the whole county.
This drug scourge seems to be sweeping the nation right now.
It is. And legalizing it is not going to
solve
the problem. It's not. It's only going to make it worse.
And they call marijuana a gateway drug when you're younger and
it is.
And more liberal. Yeah, you're thinking, oh, come on, how could it be? I smoke pot, but I don't. It seems the older you get, the stupider these things seem, legalizing marijuana.
Yes.
They've been screaming, oh, for the tax revenue. You want somebody on the roads stoned while you're in the car with your family? Really?
Absolutely. I would love to know what the percentage of accidents, say, in Colorado and surrounding states for people under the influence of marijuana. I would love to know what their statistics are. It's got to be sky high.
Right, because they have legalized it now. And I was just recently in Colorado, and the population of Denver, I think, went from 1.5 million to 3 million because of this legalization of marijuana. But they'll probably never tell you, Sheriff, because you know that saying, there's three kinds of lies. There's lies, there's damned lies, and there's statistics.
That's true. In September, I attended National Sheriff's Institute in Aurora, Colorado. And every morning they would have a bus pick us up at the hotel and take us to the training center. And next to the last morning we were there, it was a lady bus driver. And she was asking all the sheriffs what state you're from and all that. And I believe it was one of the sheriffs from Louisiana asked her about the drug use. She says, well, I'll be glad when all the other states legalize it. And he said, what are you saying that for? She said, that way everyone will go home. She said, they're coming here.
Yeah, right.
And she said, it's ruining our state. And she said, people just don't realize that.
We are going in the wrong direction in a lot of ways, don't you think, Sheriff?
We are, sadly.
Sheriff Ronnie Howard of Somerset County, Maryland. Sheriff, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent today explaining all this to listeners. And thank you for doing what you're doing out there. I know it's not an easy job. You're putting your life on the line and all your deputies and anybody else who's working in the service of law enforcement. So thank you so much for what you do. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you. Same to you, sir.